Hi, my friends. Welcome to your first Wake Unplugged. Who's been here before? Was anyone here last summer? Who likes sitting on the floor? It's kind of enjoyable, isn't it? Brings you back to elementary school show and tell. Guys, this is going to be the format for the whole summer. So kind of saying get used to it a little bit. And we're going to be doing a series called Summer in the Psalms. This might be the longest series that we ever have had because we're going to go through one psalm every single week until the summer is over. How does that sound to you? I'm wondering when the last time you got in the Psalms was. It's right smack dab in the middle of your Bible, 150 chapters. That's a lot of chapters, the most chapters. Fun fact, Jeremiah is longer, despite having way less books, because there's so many short psalms. But the longest chapter is Psalm 119. I don't know why I'm telling you this, but it's like 8 pages long. It's kind of crazy. Basically, what we find in the Psalms is poetry, songs, expressions of worship to God. And David is the main author of it. David was a king of Israel, and that man loved God so much that he was constantly writing praises to him. And he filled that book up with his writings. How many of you, when you just are overwhelmed with your love for God or thinking about him, just get out a pen and paper and start writing songs to him? Maybe we can start doing that. Who's in? Really? Well, I'll check on that later and see if you're true on that. Good, good. So today we're going to be looking specifically at Psalm 14, which is not filled with praises as much. David is looking at the kingdom of Israel and the people in general, and he's honestly speaking on behalf of God and saying God has looked out on earth, and guess what he's found? Nobody seeks for God, and nobody does what is good. That's kind of a sad thing to see when you look out on the earth. He literally sees no man doing what is right, and no man is doing what is good in God's eyes. And basically, at the end, he just cries out, and he's like, when will salvation come? When will God save this mess, basically? So that's kind of the summary. I gave you a little sneak peek. We're going to read through it right now. So it's hard to be locked in when you read the scriptures, but everything that I say is way less important than the verses that we're about to read, okay? So pay attention to the verses because they're God-breathed. God wants you to know these things. Here we go. Psalm 14:1. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have committed abominable deeds. There is no one who does good. The Lord has looked down from heaven upon the sons of men to see if there are any who understand, who seek after God. They have all turned aside, man. Together they have become corrupt. There is no one who does good, not even one. Do all the workers of wickedness not know who eat up my people as they eat bread and do not call upon the Lord? There they are in great dread, for God is with the righteous generation. You would put to shame the counsel of the afflicted, but the Lord is his refuge. Oh, that the salvation of Israel would come out of Zion when the Lord restores his captive people. Jacob will rejoice. Israel will be glad. There it is. He's longing for the salvation of God because all he saw was sin. Nobody was doing what was good. That's tough realization. So my first point is going to come from verse 1, guys. Let's look at verse 1 here. It says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Reminder, I'm just giving a 10-minute message. You guys are going to break out and talk about this. So let's focus in on this first point. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. My first point is, it is foolish to say that there is no God. It literally says that the fool says in his heart, there is no God. And why is it foolish? Why is it not smart to say that there's no God? Well, I think those who have a relationship with him can tell that something's going on, that they're actually interacting with a being who's changing them. But also, I think Paul talks about in Romans 1 why it's foolish to not believe in God. He literally says, Romans 1:20, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made so that they are without excuse. This verse doesn't really make that much sense unless you're really grinding the gears. But all it's saying is that God is obvious if you look out at creation, because clearly a powerful, wise being had to make all this. When you look at a human being and how complex we are and how amazing the capacities of our mind are, you have to admit that there has to be a divine being that created this. We couldn't just happen by chance, okay? So what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna show you two videos that I think are pretty nice. And these videos, I think, show that there is a God who has very fine-tuned this world to do some amazing things. We're gonna look at a fish specifically that I don't think, yeah, shocking. What could a fish do that would shock me? Well, watch this video.
All of this is to film one key behavior.
Yeah, that man just squirted water out of his mouth and hit a grasshopper on a tree 20 feet in the air.
The archer fish are incredibly accurate, shooting from fish to target in about a tenth of a second.
All right, so there's the archer fish. Honestly, didn't do enough research to know where that is happening, but it's out there happening when you're not there. That's an interesting thought. All these things just happening without you being there. I don't know why I'm talking about that. But guys, the archer fish literally shoots a stream of water up and hits a grasshopper perfectly off of a tree. It eats it. Now, I don't know about you, but I do not think that that could have happened by chance. I think God is pleased to create things that are interesting and fun. And honestly, sometimes he's the only one who gets to see it. God is just up there enjoying watching his creation, I believe. That's awesome. The next video is about humans, the greatest creation of God. You would expect us to be even cooler than the little fish that squirts water. Let's watch this video.
10, 9, ignition sequence starts. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, all engine running.
Give a round of applause to humans. I mean, gee whiz. And now we need to give a round of applause to God for creating humans. I mean, good night. We literally shot a rocket. Imagine this. You're standing on the grass and you're like, you see the moon and you're like, I'm going to build something that's going to get me there so I can stand on that thing up there. Where would you start? Humans are unbelievable. They literally made a machine that can get them to the moon. Are you kidding me? There has to be something greater than us that designed us. It is foolish to say that there is no God, okay? The next point that we're gonna make is again from Psalm 14:1, if you wanna go there. The fool has said in their heart, there is no God. I'm not even gonna keep reading. I'm gonna stay on this verse. Interesting. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Who's the person that says there's no God? The fool. And so my second point is, if you deny God, if you don't honor him, thank him for who he is, if you don't acknowledge him, you become a fool, okay? You become a fool if you deny the existence of God. God created wisdom. God is and is defines what is good and right. So if you do not have a relationship with him, you will not be wise yourself. It says the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. So if you do not respect God, do not think that he exists, you will not know the one who is the source of all wisdom, and so you will be living a foolish life. You will be doing behaviors that are destructive to you. Because God made you, he knows how you're supposed to function, right? He designed you, and so the only way for you to be safe in this life is if you follow the commandments of the one who made you. Does that make sense? What happened to Adam and Eve when they disobeyed God? A lot of bad things. Sin came into the world. It backfired on them to go against their God, right? Don't you think that they should have just kept obeying him? We would not see any of the pain, suffering, and sin that we do right now if mankind just would have trusted God and believed that he had the right way. And so if you deny God, you will slowly and surely become more and more corrupt inside and start doing things that hurt you and hurt other people. There's no way around it. In fact, Proverbs 14:12 is a great representation of this. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. So you could say, hey, I'm going to ignore God and try to do my own thing. I think I know what's best for me. You could be very confident that you're living the best way and the most healthy way and the way that will bring most life. But if you're not following the Lord and his ways, you're deceiving yourself. You're actually, your end is the way of death. You're going to do things that harm you. And even if you think that your way is best, you could be very wrong. Unless it's the Lord's way, unless you're studying the Bible, then you can't be sure that your way is right. You need to rely on God's wisdom because he's the source of it, okay? Point three is going to come from Psalm 14:3. We're almost done. This is the last point. 14:3 says, they have all turned aside. Together they have become corrupt. There is no one who does good, not even one. Okay? So he's looking out again at all the people. Nobody is doing what is good. Imagine that. Nobody's following God in this whole kingdom. And these people are supposed to be the chosen people of God, right? Nobody's doing what is good, not even one. And so my third point, which we'll have to explain a little bit, is that there's only one gate to safety for the lost sheep. So I'm gonna explain. You guys are all sheep. I'm a sheep. You're a sheep. He's a sheep. We a sheep. We have all turned aside from following God. At one point in our lives, we've rebelled against God. Some of us are still rebelling against God and have never put our faith in Christ. I'll be honest, there's people in this room who have not accepted Christ. And I hope today will be the first time that they call on him because he exists. And so the point is that we were separated from God. We like sheep went astray. In fact, we sinned to the point where we deserve judgment and eternal punishment from this God who has penalties for sin. But then what happened was that the Son of God, Jesus Christ, came, died for your sins out of love for you, that if you have faith in him, that he died and rose again, that he's Lord over all, you will be saved. You will not be a lost sheep anymore, but you'll return to God. He wants to return you to the Father. A lost sheep went astray. And what does it say that the Son of Man came to do if we read Luke 19:10? It says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Okay? Jesus literally came to help get his sheep back to the Father. And the point was, again, that there is only one gate to safety for the lost. What is the one gate? Let's read John 10:9. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, this is Jesus speaking, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. So who's the gate? It's Jesus. He says, I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out of the pasture. There is only one gate to return back to the Father for salvation, and it is through faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus is the only way. You can't hop the fence by doing enough good things. If you're the best kid ever who just is always kind to people, but you do not have faith in Christ, you cannot return to the Father. You cannot inherit eternal life. You will not be saved. Only through Jesus Christ will you find that you will return to the Father. You will be restored. You will be forgiven for your sins. It's the only way. Let's read John 10:11. And this is why he did. He said, I am the good shepherd. How is he good? Because he was willing to lay down his life for the sheep. This is a shepherd that you can trust. He loves you so much that he died to make a gate for you to return to the Father. It's amazing. And so the difference, we're going to watch this video before you put it on. This is what you're going to see. You're going to see a bunch of sheep. And I want you to pretend that they are lost and that their expectation at the end of their life is judgment for their sins. It's us. We've all rebelled against God, but then what's going to happen is you're going to see a gate is open. I want you to imagine that's Christ. And I want you to imagine that all of these sheep are returning to their father through the gate. And I don't want you to be like, way to go, sheep. But I want you to really think that of the amazing fact that if that gate wasn't there, their life is hopeless. They have no hope at all. And they cannot return to the Father. Okay? So let's watch it. It's got a beautiful little rhythmic music to it. I was wondering if I should just not play the music, but that's okay. Honestly, very relaxing to watch this. I might have to watch it tonight. So I'm gonna read this verse while we watch this, guys. I want you to listen to this verse. Through Adam, actually I can't. You have to keep watching this video because the verse is not on my page. I think we get the point. Let's go to Romans 5:19. I'm so sorry, so relaxing. Look it up on YouTube. Lock in, guys, here we go, last thing. For as through the one man's disobedience, who's that? Adam. Many were made sinners. Through Adam's disobedience, many sheep were lost. Even so, through the obedience of the one, who's the one? The obedience of the one, Jesus. Now we're talking about Jesus. So Adam made a bunch of people sinners. Even so, through the obedience of Jesus, many will be made righteous, okay? Adam failed, death spread to all men. Jesus obeyed, and righteousness spread to all men. You see all the sheep rushing into through the gate. Jesus is making us righteous and forgiven before God. And so the final verse I want to read, and then you guys are going to go out, is 1 Corinthians 1:31, which says, so that just as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. I hope after this you can realize that we did nothing to deserve our salvation. God saved us by the work of Jesus alone. All we did was sin. Nobody was doing what was good. And then Christ, out of his love for us, came and saved us. So let's boast in the Lord. Let's boast in God. He's the one who did the work, okay, and deserves all the praise, not ourselves. All right, guys. You guys have 15 minutes to go discuss.